do start off today with our Democrat of the day, who's actually in the metro area, and it's a seat. Ooh, do I want 48B to go back to the Democrats? I want 48B in the Democratic fold very, very much so. Carly Kotitsa Watoon. Carly, did I say that correctly?
Almost.
Okay.
Almost.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Kotitsa Watoon.
Kotitsa. Carly yep. Kotitsa Watoon joining us. She is the Democrat running for 48B, and I am so glad you're running down in here because you're right by us here at the Palatial Broadcasting Complex. Thank you very much for the time. I do appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on. I'm glad that we were able to work it out.
Well, great. First of all, let's Carly, why don't you explain to everyone out there who exactly is Carly Kotitsa Watoon?
No problem. Yeah. So I am Carly Kotitsa Watoon, and I have been living out here in Eden Prairie for about 7 years. But I originally grew up in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, in a union household. Both my parents were educators, and I am so grateful for their commitment to public education. My dad worked as a social studies teacher, high school principal, and as a guidance counselor throughout his career, also coaching football and track on the side. And my mom, in addition to raising three girls full-time, served in a variety of part-time education-focused positions. She was an early childhood center manager, the district coordinator for junior achievement in our area, and she worked with families in-home focusing on literacy. Needless to say, my passion for education stems from how I was raised. So I'm the oldest of three girls, and I moved here to Minnesota to attend the University of St. Thomas, where I participated in Residence Hall Association, the Aquinas Scholars Program, and I graduated with a degree in entrepreneurship and Spanish. I'm committed to creating community wherever I happen to be. So reaching out to my neighbors in the res halls back then and talking to neighbors here in Eden Prairie now is still a big priority of mine. Yeah. My husband Rory and I moved to Eden Prairie in 2011. We love our neighbors, the strong schools and the green spaces here in Eden Prairie. The diversity of our community is very important to us. And we have a Labradoodle who we rescued 5 years ago, and he's our first baby. We are adopting out of Minnesota State Foster Care, so we have three young children at home right now.
Wonderful.
And, so I'm getting used to being a mom, which is really exciting, and it's been a long time coming. So that's kind of me in a nutshell.
You know, I love your background about education because I think one of the things that I've always found is that the people that come from families with an educational background where education was a strong, strong element of that growing up, these conservative talking points about how we have to defund education and cut teacher staff and go after the teachers union and cut schools and close schools, you can cut right through that because you've seen it from the front page view. You get this, you see exactly what the education system's like. And, you're in Minnesota where we have great schools, thank goodness.
Yes.
But it is one of those things where it is almost comical when I hear people want to attack education.
Oh, it's been breaking my heart, but also really thrilling me to see the teachers having to strike in states across the nation right now. And yes, absolutely. Luckily, here in Minnesota, we have a strong commitment to education in our history, and I want to see that continue. So the activism that is taking place across the country right now is so important, and teachers really do need to speak up and tell us what they need, and we need to be taking our cues from them. So I definitely agree with that.
All right. So what prompted you? What all of a sudden made you say, you know what, this is the year. I'm running to take a Minnesota House seat.
Well, we all woke up to some disappointing news back in November of 2016.
Yes.
And to be honest, the first thought that I had was, oh my gosh, can I sleep for the next 4 years? And so it's a long way from that first thought in November all the way to today when now obviously I'm running for office. And I was thinking to myself, I should have done more. I could have done more. And the candidates that I believed in back then that I think would have taken the country in a different direction than we are now, focusing on the future instead of taking us backward, really, really needed my help. And I think that I realized that. So feeling a little bit guilty and knowing that I could do more, now I am stepping up to do more. And Amy Klobuchar, I attended a training and she kind of spoke to us in a little recorded video. And she said, one of the hardest things in a democracy is putting your name on the ballot. So when I started considering running for office, my husband had kind of made a flippant comment to me. It was definitely a joke, but after our congressman was reelected, he was kind of frustrated about that. And he said, you should really run against him. this next year, you know, this year now. And I sort of laughed because that was the first time that anyone had ever suggested public office to me. Mm-hmm. And while we're seeing an amazing trend of so many women running this year, and I'd love to see that on both sides and from both parties. We need gender parity in our government. So whatever women believe in, they should run no matter what their party is. But women historically have to be asked to run. They don't just wake up one day and say, hey, I'm going to run for office. Mm-hmm. So when he said that, I started thinking about running for something and decided that Congress was not that something, but looked at city council, school board. I mean, just started considering these things and really attending and doing some research, candidate trainings, campaign staff trainings. Did I want to leave what I was doing and work full time for a campaign, something along those lines. And ultimately, I was contacted by the Deputy House Minority Leader and John Applebaum, and we sat down and had a talk about this position, running for this seat, and it became real very quickly. I had some great conversations with people who have run before me and won, and just really tuned into what this could look like this year. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, I decided that was not an option.
I love the fact that you brought up gender parity, because I've become convinced that I think that's one of the greatest mistakes this country has made, is that we have not had gender parity and also racial parity in a lot of our representation.
Yes, that's true.
And I just love the fact that we have so many strong candidates who happen to be women. And you are taking on a seat that has been, you know, for a lot of Democrats, it's always kind of been one of those questionable ones, like, how can we not win this? This is Jennifer Loon's seat. She claims to be an old school moderate Republican. The reality is she votes with Drazkowski and Gruenhagen, these far right extremists, most of the time when it comes to the vote. If you were to get into 48B and take that House seat, what would you like to bring to Eden Prairie?
Well, what I've been hearing a lot out on the doors from my neighbors right now is gun violence prevention. That is something that we could have and should have gotten done this session. Governor Dayton would have absolutely supported a bill had the GOP legislature brought some sensible thing to the table. But they were delaying it. I mean, they were delaying true, meaningful action. And Minnesotans want to see universal background checks as a first step. That is something so simple that we can get done right away, because across rural and urban boundaries, that's 90% support plus. Across household income, that's 90% plus support. So Minnesotans want to see us take meaningful action. And if they're not able to get it done at the federal level, we can certainly get it done at the state level here.
And
so that's definitely a priority for me.
And it was, as you brought it up, I mean, the Republican leadership, I think what they did is they told some, you know, metro area Republicans where this was a bad issue for them, that they were going to, this could be bad for their campaign. Oh, you can bring up and talk about a fake bill, but the Republican leadership never had any intent. And I think that the Republican Party as a whole never had any intent on dealing with this. They just gave some lip service to try to give some of the metro area Republicans, including Jennifer Loon, some wiggle room to say, well, we tried. And the reality is they didn't do squat, and they had the ability to do it. They just didn't do it.
Certainly. So. Yep. One of the other things that we're talking about and is our 4K kindergarten program that, you know, we had funding. Districts across the state had implemented this program. We're seeing a lot of success. One of the things that I've done in my background is I managed a tutoring program through the No Child Left Behind legislation and worked with Minneapolis Public Schools, Bloomington, Richfield, Brooklyn Center, Brooklyn Park, everywhere. And one of the biggest issues that we're seeing in schools these days is that children come to kindergarten already skewed so much. So this achievement gap that we talk about is so real here in Minnesota, and we can take steps, actionable steps, to close it. One of the things is literacy. It's huge. It's key. And so children who come to school having heard, I think it's like the 10,000 word gap or something that you talk about. Mm-hmm. So children who have been read to on a frequent basis have a much larger vocabulary than students who don't have that background from the day that they're born to the day that they enter kindergarten. So implementing this four-year-old kindergarten program is assisting children in gaining that vocabulary, really starting to make sure that they are taking steps so that when they come to kindergarten, everyone is much closer to the same level and we can go forward and begin to close that achievement gap. So that's something that if we're able to expand the budget for that program, we're able to bring it not only to Eden Prairie, we're on the waiting list, but just across the state. So that is something that would make a big difference, I believe.
And when people, you know, think about Eden Prairie, obviously they think a very affluent community, and it is. It's done very well for itself. But it's been going through, because my sister lives out here in Eden Prairie. She's one of your one of your constituents. But you know, it's a community that's in growing pains, because it used to be the outer skirts of the metro. Now it's kind of encompassed within the metro area, and you've got a much more diverse social and economic class that's within the community. And when you talk about that, that's not something. Which is in Eden Prairie, these are issues which are becoming more and more prevalent. And unless we are dealing with them and being on the forefront of them, they become much larger problems in the future if we're with the gap.
Yes, certainly. And actually, you know, the Eden Prairie Public Schools took a big step to redraw the district boundaries back in 2010. I was actually working through that tutoring program at the time. And Eden Prairie, one of the schools here in Eden Prairie, was marked as failing through No Child Left Behind. And it was due to the fact that many low-income families kind of lived in the same area here in Eden Prairie, and so they were all drawn into the same elementary school. And so the district looked at that and said, you know, in order to best serve these students, as well as the students across the district, we need to change this up a little bit. We need to make sure that, you know, we're not continuing this this pattern and making sure that all of our students have equal access to the best education possible. And I think it really made a tremendous difference. So the school district is willing to take those steps, and I think that we need to just continue following through at the state level to make sure that all of our districts across the state have access and have the support that they need.
48B is the district, of course. It's in Eden Prairie. Jennifer Loonsey, this is a must pick up for the DFL, and Carly is an exceptional candidate. Carly Kotiza Watoon.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Very good.
All right. Good. I'm going to draw you, because I'm
going to take a couple tries.
Well, and it's a great name, and it's great to talk to you, because I have been so frustrated. There almost seem to be phantom candidates that ran for the DFL in this district in this race for the last few years. We've got a real solid chance at picking up the seat. I imagine you're doing some door knocking and going around the community at this point, and you need some volunteers, right?
Yes, absolutely. We are actually going to be heading out a little bit later this afternoon, and working with some youth leaders in the area, as well as solid Democratic constituents who have been serving the area since, you know, before I even moved into Eden Prairie. So it's been awesome. But yeah, we would love to have people join our team and get out and have those conversations, because we're going to be one of the most watched legislative races in the state this year, and it's doable. I mean, Hillary Clinton won our district by 13 points in 2016, and there are so many independent-minded thinkers in Eden Prairie. People vote across party lines. They don't tend to vote one side of the ticket or the other, and I think that we are able to really have great conversations, come to the center, and we can implement common sense, common ground legislation that works for everyone, or almost everyone.
And it should not just be a Kurt Dowd rubber stamp district, and that's all it is. I know that they try to put on the dog and pony show to act like, oh, no, Jennifer Liu is an independent. No, she's not. Go look at her voting record. She's been very much in the extremist far right of the Republican Party. Carly Forhouse, CarlieForHouse.com. Carly Forhouse, make a donation. If you can go do some door knocking, obviously 48B is a big district, and there's a lot of doors to knock on. So if you can help out, CarlieForHouse.com. Carly Kotiza Watoon. Carly, thank you very much. I appreciate the time today.
Thank you so much for having me. I look forward to speaking with you again in the future.
By all means, you can come back anytime you want.
Take care.
You too, take care. Democrat of the day for the day. Let's take a break. Come on back. We got to get into the fact that the trade war this week is about to go boom. And there's other financial news on that. And getting out into the outstate Minnesota. I was out there this weekend. I'll talk about that as well. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.